G'day, Wayfinders, and welcome to episode 25 of the Wayspotters podcast. I'm your host, Lachlan, and as always, I'm joined by...
Hello, it's Blame Jamal.
And we have just come back and slash finished or woken up from our post-Niantic Community Day siestas. So, Jamal, let's start with you. Where did you go for your Community Day? What sort of wayspots were you exploring?
I went to the graveyard, and I hunted dinos amongst all the old charlatans from the 1700s and 1800s. Where did you go?
Were you planting your flowers in Pikmin Bloom?
I was. I'm always planting flowers in Pikmin Bloom whenever I'm playing Pokemon Go.
Good. And did you get your Pikmin Bloom Community Day medal? Did you make enough steps?
I think so. But I also did blow up some portals, and I did some hacking as well. So I was kind of the trifecta of...
Yeah, and I got a couple unique hacks in as well, because I went to a official Niantic Community Day location, which meant that there were some pop-up portals.
Oh, how was that?
So I wanted to make sure I got my unique hacks on them. Couldn't cap them, because other agents were a little bit too quick from my faction. But I did see a enlightened agent wandering around South Bank wearing an enlightened hat and an enlightened t-shirt. So it's the least incognito agent I've ever seen.
Right. Because after all, it is Niantic Community Day and not just Pokemon Go Community
Day.
Yes.
And they've started with putting up marquees now that are branded. So I think Niantic's really investing in this in-person Community Day thing going forward. And I saw that these marquees looked very similar to ones all across the world. So it was really cool to see that come to Australia as well. And I'm not sure if we've put this online, but they were giving away Niantic Community Day pins that said June 2020, metal pins. They're really cool. I'll put them up on social media after this drops, but you'll be hearing this a week after Community Day. And the Pokemon Go players will be just watching at what's happening in Berlin with Bliss. So... if you're in Berlin and listening to this episode, that would be great.
Wait, you said metal?
Metal pins, yeah.
Like legit metal, like real ones, not like, oh, that is really cool. Yeah. And it said June 2022 on there?
Yeah, June 2022. And they ran out at our location. So they're a hot commodity. I saw some people in the local Facebook group saying, hey, I missed out. Can anyone sell me a pin? I'll give you $5 for them. I'm like, what are we, scalping freebies? Like,
they'll be on eBay by tomorrow morning.
Well... potentially. I've seen, it was interesting to have a chat to, so Niantic themselves don't come to these events. How it works in Australia, at least, is there's a separate company called Pico Global. I gave them a good shout out after Stufflecom Day when they first were sort of trying out this Community Day thing. And it was great to chat to the communications person from Pico there. And I was having a chat with the Pico lady today. Well, yesterday, and she was quite nice, down to earth. She had to get on the flight to go to back to the head office right after the event finished. So, you know, that's always good and fun. And she was really good. She had a clipboard. She was taking notes from the community about what they'd like to see going forward, that she's going to run up the chain. And I just sort of said to her, look, in Ingress, they have these things called beacons. And there's a Niantic beacon, which makes a Niantic symbol appear quite largely over the wayspot. And I was using the wayspot terminology to make it clear that this is where the meetup location would be. And I opened Ingress and showed them what the beacon looked like because an agent had put one there. And I said, look, it would be great if, you know, Pokemon Go and Pikmin, you could get this sort of digital banner that extends over the wayspot in-game to make it clear where the actual marquee tent was. Because I said, most of these people are walking around this park. They're looking down at their phone. They're not actually looking up. And at the end of the day, there were a lot of people coming up very grumpy that they missed out on getting the swag because they were looking at their phone and walked past them about 10 times and didn't realize that they were actually there.
And if there was some type of beacon, then they would see it. What in-game. About yeah. In-game? What if there was like, if they didn't want to do a beacon, if that's Ingress's thing, what if there was the Go Rocket balloon, but it was like a Niantic balloon, like the one that usually gives you the gifts, but it was like, you open it up and it's like,
but
come
things
here.
But there's things they can do in-game that sort of indicates this is where a Niantic meetup location is.
Yes.
And if this is something they're doubling, tripling down on, it's not just going to be for a one event. They can use it multiple times. And they can repurpose it going forward. And I think that would be a really cool use of just a visual indicator of where Niantic is in your local area. Because we get the sponsored balloons. That's great and all. But it's not the same as actually a visual indicator. And it's just little feedback. She's like, that's great. That would be good for us. Because, you know, the original announcement just says, we're at this park. It's a very big park.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't say where they are in the park.
They set up next to one of the Niantic way spots. But still, there was 8 of those way spots. And, gotcha. You know, this park has a lot of waste spots. And to be completely honest, most people don't look at waste spot photos when they're playing a community day. Pikmin Bloom players are probably not checking what flower they're getting their fruit and nectar from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure ingress agents are just tap hacking or tap deploying and just shiggling, not really caring what the photos are and all of that. So on a community day for Niantic, it's not really, the waste spots aren't the focus. It's the location that the waste spots are in.
Exactly. Speaking of community day, if we can stay on this Pokemon Go thing for just a second, I heard a rumor that you had kind of a interesting day when it came to community day in your gameplay.
It's fine. I got the blue screen of death. Haven't had that since 2016. Well, there was that day of server downtime with it last time I saw it, but you know, I haven't seen that error message in a long while, and I think it's quite indicative that not just this event having server delays, the current event, the TCG collaboration in Pokemon Go, but it's a case that the game is that popular at the moment, and yes, we don't feel it, but being out in a community and seeing hundreds of people walking around a park playing together, and this being like the third one in a row where we've been able to gather everyone to the same park, it's feeling really good, you know?
Yeah, it's a really good feeling.
I know the game had a little bit of downtime, but at the end of the day, it was a 9-hour event. Mm-hmm. What's 2 hours, you know?
Right.
And it wasn't in the primary 3 hours that the bulk of the issues were happening, at least in my time zone. There were some time zones that would have completely been knocked out, and I'm sure by now Niantic support has posted at whatever makeup, redo, repeat, whatever they're going to do for the affected regions, because it will be over a week since the event when you're listening to this show. But I just, you know, it reminds me of what used to happen. Like, this is what happened during Beldum Community Day. This is what mm-hmm. happened during Larvitar Community Day. Mm-hmm. This is what used to happen for the really big community days where people who were lapsed casuals would come out to play.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people were talking down the particular choice, but you know, I think it's like, not to completely disenfranchise our Wayfarer friends, but I think it was a good choice to get the community out there.
Yeah, I do too. Out there. I saw had
people
fun.
Trying to nominate Wayspots. I know that they're not going to go live in Niantic Games, but I just was happy to see people trying to nominate and trying to get more things into the game. So what people were doing in the downtime, because it wasn't affecting everyone. A lot right. of people, if they stayed in the app, were fine. But people with older phones that, you know, crash out were getting affected by the login issues. Like, and that's fine. Like, it's not fine. It was horrendous that it was happening at all. But, you know, us Australians who've been playing since 2016 know what this is like. And I genuinely just switched over to Ingress for a little bit and checked in on my Pikmin and Pikmin Bloom. Yep. And, you know, that's
wasn't the first time it happened. Unfortunately, probably won't be the last time it's happening.
Well, I'm just thankful it wasn't during a bigger event.
True. Yes.
And like, these like ones are easier to do smaller repeats for.
Like Safari Zone Brisbane in 2023. It can't happen. Safari Zone Brisbane in 2023.
No, but it won't.
I'm going to keep saying that until they make the announcement.
Right. Well, you watch will be like Safari Zone Ayers Rock or something, and I'll go to Uluru, but they'll use the wrong name for it. It will really piss off the locals, but yeah, is what it is.
Wait,
so I wanted to talk about Jamal.
I wanted to talk about the news.
Well, it's not really news. It's a presentation that Niantic Wayfarer put on in conjunction with Lightship. So obviously we haven't talked about Lightship as much as I'd like to, and I'm sure we'll probably dedicate an entire series of shows to the Lightship platform when more and more developers are using it and showing what they've been able to do with Lightship.
Let's go.
New intro. It's the new intro. It's the new intro. New intro. New intro for the news. But Niantic Lightship has these about weekly developer Zoom calls, right? And you sit down on the Zoom call and you're learning about what's going on and talking to different teams in the Niantic space. This is sort of what the Pokemon Go ambassadors do, the Wayfarer ambassadors, the Ingress ambassadors, all of those players. They sort of sit down and talk to these people at Niantic, and it's normally a closed door system. So these Lightship ones are public to Lightship enthusiasts or developers or people interested in the program. And I really love what Niantic's doing with Lightship, the fact that they give so much time, development, and resources to help smaller developers try and see their vision through. and they don't charge you for this service. It's really good. And yet there is a point where it eventually becomes monetized, but at the base level, it's a really good tool for starting developers, and I love what they're doing with Lightship. But this week, they had Dana Bobcat, the community manager, and it was really Dana great Bobcat. To finally be face-to-face with Danby, and actually got a couple questions in myself. And friend of the show, Agent X was in this call as well, just sitting in the background. And friend of the show and Wayfair ambassador Testone was sitting in the call as well. So it was good to see some friendly faces amongst the room. So Jamal, having given that prefix, what do you think they were talking about? If it's we're thinking from the Lightship perspective and Wayfair.
So unfortunately, I was at a work event and I was not able to join the call as much as I wanted to be there. I was not able to break away. But if I had to give a guess, coming in cold, they probably talked a lot about the Wayfair app and some of the things that it can do.
Yes, bang on. So I was sort of hoping that they'd give us a little bit of information about where the app's going to go and what's on the roadmap and where it's prioritized on the roadmap. We did hear them say Wayfair app and roadmap in the same sentence a couple times. So that was nice. But there's a few things I wanted to talk about from this call, which happened at 4 a.m. my time. So I got up very early for this.
You're a saint.
In fact, I went to sleep at like 7 o'clock, woke up at 10 p.m. and said, right, I'm staying up now. And went back to bed after the call.
Right.
So it was an interesting experience. Do I recommend waking up at 4 a.m. for it? Probably not. Did I learn things? Yeah, I would say I learned some things, and I'm going to share some of the intel I got. I was taking notes quite frugally while we were in the middle of the presentation. It was just an hour long. But I also want to say a huge up to the Lightship community manager. They did a great job running that presentation. And Harley, if you are listening to this, Harley, you did an amazing job. And I really appreciate what you were able to do with DJing at the start in the wait room and also sort of guiding the conversation and getting our questions from the chat to Danby directly before we went to microphone asking. So
very nice.
With that, I just want to say there's about 22 people who were in the call at the start. So it was a relatively good turnout. A couple of them were, you know, devs and people just interested. And Danby said, I noticed a few of those usernames from our forums. So there was clearly a lot of Wayfinder friends in there looking to find out what's going on.
Fantastic. Why don't you go over a couple of things that you learned on the call? I'm sure all the Wayspotters out there are really excited, as am I, to kind of see what you took down at notes and what you can share with us.
Well, one of the fun facts that they told us was that explorers have mapped 17 million Wayspots since the end of Operation Portal Recon.
Ah, Operation Portal Recon.
So that's ostensibly when Wayfarer became Niantic Wayfarer. And interestingly, 42 million scans have been submitted towards Wayspots. 42 million scans.
That's a lot of scans.
Now, I thought there would be more Wayfarers, Wayspots submitted than scans, but quite interesting that it's the other way around and people are getting involved in these AR tasks in Pokemon Go and they're scanning towards the Scout Leader medals in Ingress. I hope these are good quality scans because that's something they delved into a little bit, how these scans are being used. Because historically, the AR scanning has always intended to be a separate feature from Wayspot. Because, you know, there's always that conspiracy theory about a Wayfarer scan gets Wayspots removed.
Correct.
I can say it's not the case. And I can confirm that from today. They do not remove a Wayspot unless someone submits a remove Wayspot request for it. Not an AR scan.
We can finally put that conspiracy theory to bed from Niantic themselves.
Because the way they were describing this, an AR scan of a Wayspot that might not be there anymore and the area around that Wayspot is still useful to Niantic. So it's of benefit for them to have that scan put in at the correct location where it is. So when you're scanning, it gets your location of where your camera is every frame of that scan. And sorts of starts to stitch it together to build a real world space. They didn't want to give out any exact numbers, which I know will annoy Jamal, but after X amount of scans are received for a particular Wayspot, they can potentially make it VPS enabled. And we went through VPS before, it's sort of the 3D mapping, and they were going through the tools, and we'll get to it a little later, about how you can make your own VPS scans of your house for AR demos that you do internally. And I'll dig into that in a minute. So one of the things that these scans are leading to is they're building sort of a mesh, an AR mesh of the world, which their games can then inhabit. And once enough Wayspots have enough scans on them and become AR eligible, and Wayspots next door to them, or the next closest Wayspot, assuming there's a certain distance, and maybe someone walked between those Wayspots when they were doing their scan, that area is starting to mesh together and creating a 3D model of the environment. And I think that's really cool. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, we're not seeing it now, but oh, imagine when this game goes for... Like, I'm looking forward to it.
It might not even be the games that we're playing. It might be a game that we don't know about that launches with full mesh and we're fully immersed inside of it.
One of the things that they were talking about is they described the Wayspots as places or objects that are locally unique, culturally meaningful, historically notable, or just simply worth venturing out to. Again, I'd like to say survey markers don't meet any of that criteria, but I guess they're culturally meaningful, according to Niantic Wayfarer. The floodgates have opened. So there was mentioning that the developers will soon be invited to participate in doing Wayfarer nominations. And my brain got thinking, all right, Jamal, so if I'm a Wayfarer developer, do I get more nominations?
Yeah, do you?
So I think that's what they were leaning towards, because it didn't require you to be a level X trainer or X agent. It just required you to be a Wayfarer developer to get access. So,
well, remember they said at some point they didn't want to gate the nominations by a certain level in the game.
Yeah. So methinks the Wayfarer app, if you're a developer in air quotes, or someone interested in Lightship and has a Niantic Lightship developer account, you'll be able to potentially do some Wayspot nominations using the app soon, which can bring a dual-wielding agent trainer up from 80 nominations to whatever they set the arbitrary limit for in the Wayfarer app. And I think that's kind of cool.
I do. Think of all the survey markers I can nominate then.
Think of all the golf courses you can name after me, Jamal.
I haven't named anything after you in probably a couple of weeks. I need to get back on that grind.
Another thing that they said was that the Wayspots in Peridot are called Skygroves, Jamal. So we have a new term that we can use.
Yes, Skygroves. Okay. Did they also mention in Peridot, are there going to be two types of Wayspots, kind of like we have in Pokemon Go?
Mentioned was Peridot Wayspots, I believe. Skygroves. I think that they said they think are Skygroves.
Okay.
So
great.
If we're wrong, that's what my notes say. So it's an excitingly new term.
And it was 4 a.m.
in Transformers. We now have Skygroves as well. So one of their comments they said was, I'm gonna read it as I typed my notes here. Devs can pick and choose how many of the Wayspots they want to use.
Interesting.
So, there could be a developer who decides to say, I want all of the Wayspots.
Right.
And that's well within their grasp.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ingress historically was that development team.
Right.
And they've moved away from that. But there could be an app developed by one of our listeners who decides to make an app in their basement about exploring Wayspots, and they just want to include all of them.
And they'll have a map full of Wayspots. I think that's very interesting. Including
ones that you can't see in any of the other games.
Yeah.
And I think if we have potential or prospective developers listening, give it a go. Let us know what you can see when you enable them all. Or is there any insight on how they give you the options for inclusions? Are there any mapping options that they give you? What are this there? Because I'm not a game developer myself, and I don't really want to delve into the Unity engine just to try and figure out what buttons they give us for Wayspot selection, but I'm interested.
I would love to see the Lightship like mother map of all of the Wayspots and be able to do some specific layering. I think that would be so interesting to have access to that. But
it's a game you enjoy playing, Jamal, or an experience you enjoy using, you would then have more motivation to go out and just nominate everything.
Yeah.
Because it didn't really matter if it appeared in the game, because this other game that you knew was coming up, you'd be able to enjoy those locations in.
That would definitely motivate me to nominate everything. If I knew that there was an IP coming out that I really enjoyed and it was going to be developed on the Lightship platform and they were going to be using everything, my goodness, I would be using my 80 nominations week in and week out for the new game.
So what would get you going? The NFL draft? Just move that to Lightship. Draft your own team. Right. Way spots get connected to unique draft numbers, and you have to go around America trying to draft players from way spots in their
hometown. You know, I'm here for it, Lachlan. I am here for it. So, this goes back to something that, you know, you always kind of give me a hard time about, that I am a Ingress and Pogo only nominator. But it's really more of a selfish thing that I you know, I just like to have my hard work be reflected in something that I can see. I know you have a more altruistic, that you're really forward thinking. And I get that. I do. I understand it. But at the end of the day, if I'm out walking for 2 hours and I've got these specific locations, I want to be able to see it at some point. And I don't want to have to wait till this other game comes out. I understand why. And you're doing the Lord's work. And I get it. Once something else comes out and that changes, I can guarantee you I will be out there doing that as well.
At the end of the day, there's another day dawning. So you said a word and it triggered some musical theater in my head. So my apologies. I was definitely listening.
It's okay.
But another thing they went into was the VPS and how the VPS is working. So we were talking about in our dive of the app, there's this button that just says VPS. And when you press it, a line goes through it and way spots disappear. So when you have selected the way spot with the line through it, it will show you locations which have received enough scans to be VPS activated. So say you're in Chicago or say you're in Seattle and you want to have a look, well, what areas are ready to go? Or in Australia, say you're at some random pub in Parramatta, which I think was one of the few locations I found, which is fully AR ready to go. So there's a developer in Parramatta doing some fun things with Lightship and I can't wait to see what they're doing with it. But it's really cool that you can use this VPS system to see where you should go and where you should prioritize your scanning when you're out and about, especially once more and more locations get switched on and ready to go. So one of the things they were talking about with these scans is when you're uploading, you have the option of private and public. And that was something Jamal and I didn't know too much about when we were doing our AR scans and talking about it last time. So as it was explained, a public scan gets sent to Niantic. It gets sent down the tube to Niantic directly, and they can do with what they want with that scan, right? A private scan gets sent down a different tube in which Niantic can delete it if it's, you know, got some legal iffiness about it.
Right. Does it meet the criteria?
But it doesn't go into the games publicly. But you, as a developer, could use that scan privately and test builds of your game. So say you want to go down, say you're a developer from home, you can use the Wayfarer app to submit a private scan of the entire bottom floor of your house or your office space, and you can send that to Lightship as a private scan. You can then, using the Lightship system, develop and test your AR experiences in your own office or home using the scans that you created. Isn't that cool?
That is really cool. That's fascinating. You can create, just think of the possibilities you can do there. So I'm seeing people with like, you know, the 3D glasses on or the, you know, the things that go over your head, and they're like physically walking around their office and they're being able to see things that are not there or things that they place on their own private game board using the Wayspots. Really cool stuff and connecting Wayspots together. I mean, the possibilities are endless. It's really getting to the space where we're going to have that virtual world. And it's kind of cool, Lachlan, to kind of feel like we have a little something to do with that. We're kind of on the precipice of it, of this thing really blowing up. And, you know, we kind of know how it works from the inside out. I'm really excited to be part of this.
Well, I'm just excited for the fact that it's giving us a little bit more agency. And, you know, I have some friends who are, you know, into game development and just general app development. And I was talking to one of them about the tools that Niantic are providing. And they're like, God, I wish that, I won't name Engine here, and our development team was willing to experiment with that, because the resources that they're giving are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really good to see them working directly with community who want to grow the AR community globally and are actively trying to benefit everyone. So I think that's cool. So we had some questions that were asked of the team. And again, these might be very Niantic-based answers. So a person asked, will we be able to search in the Wayfarer app by coordinates? And obviously, coordinates are used by Ingress agents a lot, Pokemon Go players a lot, and malicious bad acting Pokemon Go players a lot more.
Yes, that is true.
The response was, it's on the roadmap, but we can't say when we'll roll it out. So
that's probably a fair answer, because if a Pokemon Go player is asking you for coordinates, they're probably doing it for nefarious reasons.
Or they've just been sent a gift from friend of the show Heracross boss of a fire station, and they need to figure out what they can do about it.
Oh, you saw the gift. I wondered when you were going to see the gift. The look on your face right now. Are you actively looking for that fire station now?
I plead the fifth. Actually, in Australia, pleading the fifth means something completely different.
Right. That's a very American thing.
I don't plead the fifth, but I plead the fifth in the American sense of it.
Because the POI is located in the United States. And Heracross Boss, when you're listening to this, I'm watching Lachlan right now on our video. He found it. He found it. I knew he would. He has got this shit-eating grin on his face, and he found it, and he's looking at it. And I don't know what kind of bad things he's about to do with this, but it completely derailed his train of thought when I saw him pull up your gift.
So, yeah. I'll tweet that one out and let the audience decide. So, speaking of that, if a wayspot is reported via the app, how does Niantic change the wayspot? That was a question asked. Now, Jamal, what do you think their response was?
If I know Niantic like I think I know Niantic, they didn't give a direct answer, and they probably said that they're working on something and they would give us an update at a later date.
Well, what they said was the Niantic team confirms all reports are reviewed manually. So if there is no bots, there is no AI, it is all a person that makes these decisions.
So anything that comes in from the Wayfarer app, a human being...
Or a human being is currently looking at. And that applies for Wayspot reports via the forum, via the
Remy
Wayfarer website, Remy, and via Niantic support in Ingress and Pokemon Go, and by tapping on live Wayspots in Ingress and Pokemon Go. It's all sent straight to the Wayfarer team and sent to someone's computer desk to review manually.
That is great information, Lachlan. I love that.
So I want to say that because this is reviewed by a human. So a human makes the final decision.
So a human at Niantic in one of their offices who's listening to episode 25 of Wayspotters, you are about to get a fire station that is going to be sent to you from Lachlan.
So I asked a question about scanning areas without nearby wayspots. So we always see the situation where people are submitting their parks that don't have any signs and they just sort of submit the grass and say, this is the wayspot, right?
Right.
We've all seen it. We featured it, some of them, as coal. I asked, will it be possible to scan those areas? Because I want to still be able to experience AR experiences in those locations. And as a developer, I would like to be able to have experiences there as a public thing. And the response from Niantic was, you can enter the scanning mode in the Wayfarer app from anywhere.
Hmm.
At the moment, no. The data becomes discarded.
Gotcha. But so at some point in the future... I would like to say,
at the moment, no. Because currently, all scans are tethered to one wayspot. And that transitions to another question I had. Scanning a live wayspot. Say there's two wayspots next to each other. Say there's the church and there's a plaque on the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Different locations, but close enough. I asked, if I scan the two wayspots and have them included in the same scan, is it possible to apply when you're selecting which wayspot was this for? Will it be possible in the future to select two wayspots because my scan of up to 6 minutes in the Wayfarer app included more than one wayspot?
And it's you're wanting to know if we can stitch them together, essentially.
Yes. They said currently your scan will be applied to one wayspot, but if it's deemed a good scan, it could be used in the stitching data between multiple way spots.
I gotcha. So what I'm envisioning there is I'm scanning my park and I'm scanning the basketball court, and that's one POI. But the playground is a second POI, and as I'm scanning the basketball court, I'm picking up the playground in the background. And that could be a scan for both.
Yeah. But currently, you've got to select one way spot for it.
Right, I'm talking future state.
I was thinking, I could walk along the path between these two way spots, getting the path in so that that path is included in the AR environment, and sort of connect these two way spots with real-time location data. So that was sort of what I was asking. Doesn't seem like it's possible yet, but AR technology is growing very quickly. So looking, fingers crossed, because I would love that.
Did they...
Niantic...
Go ahead. I was gonna ask you a question, and I want you to answer it kind of in the realm of how you're reading out for us. Did they show what scans look like once they receive them on their side?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So they showed us what scans look like if you do a private scan and what it looks like on the Lightship dev platform, which anyone can do. And it shows you what it looks like. But if you've used the Wayfarer app to scan, you know it's more akin to the way Ingress scans than when Pokemon Go scans, where it shows what objects it's taking in and recording and what objects it's obscuring and ignoring.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
They didn't say that directly or show that directly, but they showed how you can view your private scans. So I asked, say I've got a client who's in a museum and runs a museum, and there's way spots in their museum already, but it's a multi-story building. How does a multi-story building, if someone comes through and AR maps all of the way spots in that museum, how does that stitch together if it's on a multi-story building? Will it start to merge, or will it just get discarded data? And obviously, multiple stories is a challenge in the AR GPS location space because there's GPS is for horizontal movements, not for vertical movements. So I was wondering if Niantic was able to talk about any potential developing tech to help combat these issues. And at the moment, sadly, they don't have the technology to do it, but I'm sure there would be some form of workaround that they could develop where if it's an experience for that museum, you could probably press a button to say, I'm going up a floor, you know, and you would load a different environment. But currently, there's no native way to detect height, so the meshes wouldn't work quite well. And I'm not sure how that would apply to the overall Lightship database if these are public scans, but that is what it is. Mm-hmm. Private scans. A fun thing that they talked about with private scans is you can use your own company-developed private scans in your live game, but it will only appear in that live game.
That makes sense.
Public scans from all of the other games will still be included, but if you as developers generate private scans for your own experience, they can be used in your game, but they won't be visible in other games, which I think is good, and it's cool, and it sort of leads into that question I asked about if I was at a museum. Because I see museums as being a really great place to have AR experiences. I know Nintendo, as a part of the 3DS, had some really cool interactive tour programs for the Louvre. And I would really like to see Niantic sort of pivot into that sort of work with a developer to work with multiple museums around the world to build it out in a Niantic AR environment where you can see the artworks and the installations with your own eyes. But if you hold your phone up to it, it pulls up like the information card, like the description of the way spot.
Right.
And I think that's a really cool use case of this technology that they're developing. So that's sort of where my headspace was at with this. And I think it's really cool that they mentioned that private scans could be usable in live games, but only by that particular game.
I want to go back to what you said just prior to this, because I had thought about this before. So I nominated and got accepted in the game. There's a high-rise apartment building in my city, and on like the 15th floor is a basketball court and tennis court that's open to the public. You can go and play it. And
on the 15th floor?
On the 15th floor.
Is that the roof?
It's not the roof. It's a 40-story building.
What is America? Like?
So there's a swimming pool, a basketball court, and a tennis court on the 15th floor. And it's one of those buildings that's kind of stacked. It's, you know, it goes up to here, then the rest of the building goes here and it goes there. So I nominated the basketball court on the 15th floor and it was accepted. Now, when you look at it on the Intel map, it looks flat because of the way the Intel map is. And when you drive by it, it looks like it's on the ground. I was just wondering how, if I went up to the 15th floor and did an AR scan of that, how would that look in the real world with the mesh when the POI is 150 feet in the air instead of on the ground level?
So that's sort of where I was getting at with that string of questioning for them, because I know there are circumstances all across the world where there's waste spots that are unique, but they're not on the ground floor and ground right. perspective. So I was sort of seeing if they had any plans or ideas for that, but we don't know at this stage. At this point, there is that reporting option in the Wayfarer app to say that this object is too high to scan. Mm-hmm. So right. maybe potentially just flag it as that so the AR mapping tools don't get affected by it. But you're welcome to scan, you know, the footpath outside it, outside of that building, because that will contribute to the AR mesh of the area. That's sort of the vibe I was getting from them.
That's going to be fascinating. That's really going to be fascinating.
Because I have a hunch that probably 10 million of those 42 million scans are footpaths.
Yeah.
With cameos by shoes. Right. So that's my notes from the presentation, but I just want to say it was a really well professionally done presentation by Danby and Harley. So they did a really good job, and I'm really impressed with that presentation. It was a good time. Harley ended it off with a little bit of dance music before they went to their next meeting as well. So I really quite appreciate that. Thank you, Harley. And I look forward to following more of your adventures as Lightship Community Manager. And Danby, you did a really good presentation, and I hope you're feeling a little bit better. And because we all know I wasn't 100% last week as well. So it's great to sort
That's
of
great.
See doing a little better.
I'm glad you were able to do that, and hopefully the next one I'll be able to join in. And Danby or Holly, if you're listening, you always have a welcome spot,
Holly,
to come in and talk to us about what's going on with the AR space. Mm-hmm. I know this is specific. We're a specific Wayfarer podcast, but Lachlan and I both have a passion for the AR space and what's going on in the future and what developers are doing. And I would love to know more about it and be able to talk more intelligently about it.
I like to feel that Wayspotters is more of a Niantic fanboy podcast.
Yeah.
And we just talk about everything we love about the company through the lens of their major mapping initiative, which is the Wayspots, and how it ties into all aspects of their game development. So,
and I'll
that's
say it
sort
again.
Of where I see the show. And, you know, if we go off track and people are listening to us thinking, oh, well, they're not talking about how I can get more Pokestops in my area. I'm like, well, this is important that you know about what this is happening with your data, you know, and what is the potential for this data and what their hopes and dreams for your data are. Because
no waste spots, no Niantic games. I hate to say it, but that's really what it comes down to.
There's a reason why games like the knockoffs that Pokemon Go spawned, which just ripped data from OpenStreetMaps for location and Google Maps, weren't fun because it didn't have that personal flavor or touch from your community.
Right.
And I think that's really important that we participate and we enjoy what we have, but also understand that this came from somewhere and we have to respect where that's come from, the past and the future of that location. And it doesn't hurt for us to have to play within Niantic's rules for this, because by playing in their rules, we don't have a ridiculous amount of... You know what I'm trying to say. Like,
I know exactly what you're trying to say.
Cluster fudges of
yes.
waste spots clumped together, which make the game unplayable in that area unless you're using a Pokeball Plus gotcha or other peripherals, and even Ingress, like trying to hack portals that were moved near each other is a nightmare.
And much less trying to catch anything.
Yeah, so the games are designed with certain inclusion rules in mind. And I know we all want more spins. We all want more hacks. And we all want more flowers. Well, actually, I don't think there's been a huge outcry for more flowers because Pikmin uses the least waste spots of the three.
Correct.
But that sort of mindset of we want more because we think more is better. But sometimes you have to look at the lens of more isn't always better. Pokemon Go does this fascinating thing. And I'm not sure to what extent they still do it. But say you're in an S2 cell which has hit a certain amount of waste spots in it that are active Pokemon stops. Those Pokestops will produce less items the more you spin them.
Hmm.
Areas where there's less waste spots and less things to spin traditionally give more items from. So this methodology of I want more, yeah, you technically get more in the long run, but if you're just doing a casual one spin a day, you're going to be worse off.
Mm-hmm. You will be.
So if you really abuse the system, you're not going to get as many resources out of it than what you would get if you were traveling and exploring unique waste spots in a row.
I don't think people really think of it through that lens, and I don't think people really understand that. Because I think when people are spinning and walking, I don't think they're counting items. They look at their bag at the end of their trip and see what they have in their bag. But I don't know people outside of Sylph scientists that are looking at what they got from that specific spin.
Well, I believe that was something Niantic announced to help with the rural players was mm-hmm. to increase areas where there's not many waste spots.
Yes.
So I'm not sure to what extent that's still in effect. Maybe during the pandemic they just lifted it. But as last I heard, the Pokemon Go team at one point nerfed waste spot dense areas when it came to item yields. So it is what it is. Now, I think that's a really good chat we've had about the app. I did want to mention one more thing before we move off to break and our next topic. And that's that they are planning on bringing all your standard editing, all your standard nominating and reviewing into the Wayfarer app. So just give it a little bit of time. The features will come. Again, this is an open beta to those who are Lightship, Niantic Lightship account holders. So give it a look if you're on iOS. The Android version, they're planning for a July launch. So if you're an Android listener, stay tuned. It's coming. Test Flight's just an easier system to get out beta versions of the app because to be public on Google Play and the App Store, they have to have other login methods, including for iOS. They have to be able to log in with Apple, the Google logins, the Facebook logins, all of that. And that takes time and effort to get right so it doesn't break the experiences. So just be patient. They'll get it to you when they can. Test Flight's just a more reliable beta testing system than what Android has at the moment. So Jamal, did you have any last thoughts before we move off to break?
Let's move on to break.
All right. Well, I will catch you guys after these puns brought to you by Jamal.
Thank you for listening to the Wayspotters podcast, powered by the Pokemon Professor Network.
And you are listening to the Wayspotters podcast with your hosts, Jamal and Lachlan.
Oh, Jamal, your dad jokes are the worst.
What did the cowboy say at his second rodeo? This ain't my first rodeo. What do you call a talking turtle? Fictional. I can still remember my grandpa's last words before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Hey, how far do you think I can kick this bucket?" What do you call a pencil sharpener that can't sharpen pencils? Broken. I'm not saying she's a gold digger, but she did move to California in 1849. What do you call a man with a shovel in his head? An ambulance, due to the fact that he has a rather serious head wound. What's red and bad for your teeth? A brick. Why did the chicken cross the road? Chickens do not have the cognitive ability to reason. Therefore, it was random.
Welcome back from break, guys. Hopefully Jamal's jokes weren't too cringe this time. And maybe I even laughed at one. Who knows? I won't know till about a week from now when I actually listen to the show. So I have one more topic I wanted to talk about today. And it's sort of about that Lightship and the Niantic community crowdsourcing aspects of the game. And I was going through the Wayfarer forums and I stumbled across a discussion from Agent OG Magnus. So OG Magnus, this was a really interesting discussion you had. It's a nice short one. It's only got 11 comments on it, but I think it starts an interesting discussion for us to have. So Jamal, I've sent this to you. You've got it up in front of you?
I am looking at it currently.
All right, so I'm going to read through the start of it and we're just sort of going to have a chat about what we think on this topic. So the title is, Why Are Niantic Games Not Marketed as Crowdsourced? So first of all, with the in-game maps, being filled with points provided by the community, it is a fact. Also, there seems to be a disconnect with regular players and Wayfarer, with crowdsourced being a part of your first experience. Maybe more people will look into what's exactly being sourced and learn about the Wayfarer in that way. And then, it is the marketing value of the word crowdsourced. I'm not an expert in any way, but surely it's a positive word, like play together with friends or be social with others. So Jamal, what's your thoughts on branding the Niantic games as sort of a crowdsourced environment for people to play with? How do you think that would go down, and what's your thoughts on this as a general discussion point?
This is a really good question. I don't know if it comes down to semantics, but I think you lose kind of the Niantic Wayfarer branding if you go to crowdsourced, because crowdsourced means anybody can input anything into it. And that might be where the Wayfarer app is going, but currently there's gates on it. You have to be level X in Pokemon or level Y in Ingress. So it's not necessarily crowdsourced as open sourced. It's more sourced by the people that Niantic has kind of given properties to do so. That's kind of my initial thought on the crowdsourcing there, is when I think of crowdsource, I think of something that just any random person can add into.
So let's read through some of these comments here. I'm going to leave the big essay ones out for a second.
I agree.
But this almost sounds like communism. It says FTZZGHSZUHDIDU Ingress agent. I would be interesting to find out how they pronounce their agent name.
Me too.
Rolly, who is a consistent contributor, asks them to retype the post in English this time, which is a little rude, Rolly. Just a little less sass. The original post says, I maybe should have asked more directly. I should have asked Tintino directly, could you and or someone on the marketing team and or someone that works on Wayfarer onboarding care to comment? So more asked more directly to sort of say, like, what's the hope and goals of using this to advertise positively? A Pokemon Go trainer from the Harry Potter. So I know you love a pun there, Jamal.
Yes, I do.
They say, I would say that they aren't marketed as crowdsourced because the actual game is built by the developers, but the map is built by the players. But this isn't a Google Maps project. They are video games. That's just my two cents. So, Jamal? Right.
Yeah. So, Pokemon Trainer Jay, who's a new patron with us and a frequent contributor to the community forums said this. I would say it would be great. I would say it could be argued that with Lightship, they can say they aren't. Players nominate POIs to go into Niantic Lightship. The Niantic Lightship allows POIs to go into games using the ARDK to their maps. So Pokemon Go, for example, isn't crowdsourced. However, Niantic Lightship is.
So just a reminder, ARDK is the AR development kit. So just in case these lingos are going over your heads.
And Pokemon Go Trainer, Pokemon Go Trainer Jay kind of, that's what I was trying to say at the beginning. Crowdsourced is, it just, it's different if you look at the dynamics of the crowdsource, but I would agree with Pokemon Trainer Jay that Niantic Lightship is the developer that allows them in. So that's, he summed up where I was trying to go with my statement earlier.
So the original poster, OG Magnus, sort of responds a little later and says, I'm not talking about marketing and how it could connect to Wayfarer recruitment. Marketing, not the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's all about how you spin it. Built by players. Founded on crowdsourced technology. There's more ways to express the sentiment, but we see zero. New players have no idea how wayspots are made, yet we express a desire for an influx of new wayfarers somehow. So I think this is sort of the crux of their thought process, their bubbles, their, I don't know, was this a shower thought that they had and they just really wanted to put it on the forums? It's a case of, they want more people to wayfind. We all do. That's one of the big reasons Jamal and I started this show, was so that we could bring the conversation to Wayfarer. So players of the Niantic apps and developers interested in the Niantic apps can explore ways to connect. And built by players, if it said, in your community, this area was built by players, you know? Doesn't that sound a little cooler? And I could see from the marketing jingle.
Yes, it does. I mean, it really does.
How do I get involved?
You know? How can I bring something to the table? And there's something cool in my area. I'm a player. I want to do it. I just wanted to read the very last comment by our friend Rolly. Also, I'm not sure how this helps with marketing. The average person doesn't know what those terms are. So how does that change anything? And I think Rolly there is, getting a little bit deep in the weeds as to, you know, what the original question was from the submitter. So I understand what Rolly's saying. That's where I was going with the semantics of it. But I think the question is a fair question. And one of the things that
a conversation to have about potentially using the platform as a way of onboarding more people.
Correct. And crowdsource has that friendly connotation that anyone can do it. And I think when you think about Wayfarers, we are kind of a protective bunch. We really want to make sure that the game board is as clean as it can possibly be. And I think a lot of the old school Ingress players or even some of the Generation 2 Wayfinders are quite fearful of it being crowdsourced and anyone submitting anything, given the queue times and the other things. I think people are quite fearful of that.
Well, queue times for older nominations, not for new nominations. Those go through really quickly, and it's really annoying. Yes. We don't talk about it. Why is something I nominated last week in and out of voting faster than something I nominated 2 years ago? Right. Although, my backlog in 96 Defense, my backlog is down to about 3 of things in queue and in voting.
That's not bad.
I've got a lot of things on hold, yes. But they've done a really good job of clearing through the backlog of things that need to be reviewed. Yeah. It's more of a case of things that I need to go through and do proper updates to before I let them go into the queue.
Right. Well, Lachlan, I have
the benefit of taking my time on. But there's just one last comment I wanted to get to on this. Yeah, and it's from Phi2458, a Pokemon Go player, who says, I would say Niantic Lightship is a platform as a service rather than crowdsourced. According to the description on the Niantic blog, Lightship is a platform that provides a suite of tools and services. These tools and services allow developers to build their applications. The definition of crowdsourced is a large task divided into many simpler tasks and have a large group of online workers completing the simple tasks. I would say Niantic Wayfarer is crowdsourced, but Lightship isn't.
That's so very interesting. I'm really looking forward to see if Niantic Tintino or anybody else on the Wayfarer team dips their toes into the pool and answers this question or gives their opinion. I know this has been out there for quite some time, but I would really love to know what they think about this.
All right. And with that, I think it's time we move on to the fan favorite segment, Call of the Week.
Cue the intro.
Call of the Week, 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 Call of the Week. Definitely just a Doctor Who ripoff. Call of the Week, Call of the Week. So this week, our Call of the Week comes from friend of the show and patron Sir Amanda. So Amanda sends this one to the Lured Up community Discord or the Pokemon Professor Network Discord. And in the Wayspotters Call of the Week channel, she writes, they're not going to power it up. I repeat, they're not going to power it up. And the Wayspot photo is a screenshot of a tentacle with the combat points of 420. They write the title of this Wayspot as the CP420 Tentacle. This village is small and has no unique locations. I caught this tentacle at this location with a CP of 420, and I will not power it up. They're supporting information, Lachlan. Jamal. Yes, Jamal.
You forgot to tell them, or you didn't explain it, that it is a screenshot of the tentacruel that he caught.
Yeah.
It's a screenshot.
So, and it's a cropped screenshot too, because they were in the middle of appraising it. But then the supporting info, I'm like, all right, it's just going to be the rest of the tentacle. No, it's a bunch of quad bikes. And I'm like,
and a trailer.
A, with a trailer and a satellite dish. And I'm like, and you chose to nominate the tentacle. Surely, surely the satellite dish. If you're looking for something in here, right. Do a whole spiel about the satellite dish. It won't get accepted, but it would be more entertaining than your 420 tentacle.
Now, here's the thing. Saramanda is nowhere near
Alaska.
Near Alaska. So someone also burned an upgrade for her to be able to see that.
Or it's a honeypot.
Could be. I would think that Niantic would be a little more subtle with their honeypots. This is pretty obvious.
Well, some people just mindlessly five-star things, Jamal, and they need to have some form of way of figuring out who they are. So this writes, this town in Alaska is a small village containing 750 residents and has nothing special about this. It would be great help if this is approved, as we do not have any gyms in this small village. Now, Jamal, I'm going to set you a challenge for episode 26. Your homework.
Okay, give me the challenge.
Is to go to this town in Alaska virtually.
Yes.
And see what you can find, and we'll pop it up on social media. What you find.
All right.
Maybe we'll do this in the Way for Alive after this show. So 2 days from when you're listening to this. Why don't we set that as your planned homework? You can maybe scope out the area and figure out what you want to talk about. But let's try and use the Jamal method to try and find this tentacle a friend.
I will go and find this tentacle a friend. And I don't know if the whole 420 thing is legal in Alaska. I know on the west coast of the United States, it's kind of 420 friendly. Don't know about Alaska, so he might be double doxing himself. But we'll just leave that there.
I'm lost. Isn't 420 just 10 times the meaning of life?
Yes, we'll go with that.
So
we'll leave it there.
Cold listeners, we're going to set Jamal, set his waif spot finding mojo on this location, and the Wayfarer Live we do after this episode drops, we'll have Jamal present his homework to the class. So
what they can't see is I'm doing my Dr. Evil fingers right now.
Let's see what we can find here in Stebbins. And yeah, I think, Jamal, that is a good use of your skills. Now, our way spot of the week this week comes from Twitter.
And Twitter.
I'm hoping this is a sponsored way spot, but if it's not, this is a very good Niantic location that's been put up. I have a feeling that this might have been put up by our friends in the community, in that Wayfarer community, but let's play devil's advocate and assume that this is something that Niantic has done for the community. So this tweet comes from Elizabeth Hernandez. And it's not traditionally in English, so I'm going to use the auto-translate for it. So it says...
Gotcha, let's hear it.
A few weeks ago, I told you about Edgar, a Pokemon Go player that was killed during a community day. Today, Pokemon Go LA pays tribute to him, Latin America, with a stop and information to help his family. And the photo is a bunch of Oddish, with one shiny Oddish in the middle, and it's marked as no photo, so it looks like it's potentially a sponsored location. And it says, I believe it says, in remembrance of Edgar. So
I believe that's what it says there.
This also is not our normal way spot of the week, but it's always beautiful when Niantic does things like this for communities, because again, I live in Australia. It's one of the safest countries in the world to play Pokemon Go in, and I'm exceptionally grateful. I'm exceptionally fortunate for that. And there are places in the world which just aren't that safe to play this game in, and I don't know the circumstances around Edgar. I probably don't want to look into it, but I think this is a truly beautiful thing that Niantic did for that community to say, we recognize your loss, and here is our way of remembering him. And I think it's really important that they've done something like this. And I hope other communities don't try and spread misinformation to try and get way spots near them, you know, to try and, you know, fake news.
I agree. You can only hope that this is on the level and that, you know, it's hopefully Edgar is resting in peace. Don't know the circumstances of what happened, but, you know, prayers to his family. But Niantic, that's really awesome that they would do a gesture like that. And who knows, like you said, it could be a sponsored location and it could be temporary it and looks, it could be gone by like the next community
location with the, yeah. the photos saying there's only zero photos on it, which means it was probably put there by Niantic. And I think it's just a nice little thing for the community. And it's a somewhat happy looking Oddishes to sort of it show is. The,
yeah.
The spirit yeah. that the community have. And it's never great when we do talk about loss in our communities, because it hurts every time. And I know in Pokemon Go, when we lose one of our own, a lot of their friends set their buddies' nicknames to remember that person.
Right. Or they switch their buddy to that person's favorite Pokemon. Yeah. And my guess is that Oddish was probably his favorite Pokemon. So, you know, so, that's touching.
And for Edgar's family, I think clearly this game meant a lot to him. And that to have the game directly show some love and support to a family, it's very special and very important that Niantic has done something like this. And that's why I wanted to talk about this after the call. So I don't think we can naturally transition from coal to this.
Right, exactly.
But I think one other thing that really important things that Niantic has done for a community.
One other thing that I read on Twitter, this is probably, it was prior to the pandemic. There was another, it wasn't in my community, but I was reading about it on Twitter, where another Pokemon Go player had passed away, and he was a kind of a community leader. And on the route from the funeral home to the cemetery, they turned all of the gems blue because he was a Mystic player along the whole route. And I was like, wow, that's really the community coming together, that everyone agreed not to drop, you know, it's like a 2 or 3 mile route, not to drop anything in during his funeral. And every gem from, like I said, from the funeral home to the cemetery was blue. And I thought that was a really cool thing. It just, this game really brings people together in ways that you wouldn't think that they would. And, you know, hopefully, like I said, Edgar is resting in peace. And, you know, they're asking for justice for Edgar. Don't know what happened, but hopefully he gets the justice and his family gets the peace that they deserve.
So I think on that note, I think we're going to call it an end of the show here. And obviously, Jamal and our thoughts are with Edgar's family at this.
Yes.
It's always a hard time. But I'm also want to just say thanks to Niantic Labs as a company for being so inclusive of communities like this. And it's something I think we need to talk about more. And if you're out and about playing your Niantic games, please stay safe. You know,
be safe.
We talk about getting that perfect photo for a waste spot, but don't get run over doing it. Don't get yourself injured to play your Niantic games. You've got to
agree.
Remember, there are people who care for you and love for you. So if the Niantic games are ever making you feel anything more or less, reach out for support, because there are friends, there are families, there are people all across the world who can support you. And just look out for yourself, look out for your community. And if you notice someone in your community being a little off, check in with them. You know,
check on your friends.
If someone doesn't take a gym they normally take every day, send them a message. If they don't link from that portal that they normally would, just check in on them, see if they're all right. It will mean a lot to them. And if you have a friend who's playing a community day at the first place somewhere, go with them. Don't just go to your normal grind spot. If you can help support other people and keep them safe, we want to make
hashtag sure people meet you out there.
So
hashtag meet you out there.
And on that note, I want to say huge thanks to everyone for joining the listening of this. We had a couple patrons join this week, and I want to say huge thanks to all of them. I'm not sure which of them joined for Wayfarer, but some of them have been active in Wayspotters groups and other parts of the Discord. So thank you for joining. And on that note, Jamal and I will be live on Monday/Tuesday to talk about our Wayfarer lives. So thank you for joining us. I believe episode 26, we have some fun guests joining us, and I look forward to that show. All the best, guys. Thanks, Jamal.
See ya.